welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Fasella.
Hello.
And today we listened to the 2013 Best Musical Tony Award winner, Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots.
They were in Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots.
She was in Kinky Boots.
That's the one time I'll do it. I'll knock it off from here on out, but I just had to get it out of my system.
The Gilmore Girls fans, thank you.
She was Kinky Boots.
You do a really good Sally Struthers.
I know, I try. Wait, when did the show come out?
2013.
That's right. Anyways.
Great. Alex, has Baby met world?
Baby's met some world. We dove deep last week into what makes an opening number work. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it have to do to a it has to be a good song, but b it has to do a lot of the heavy lifting to set up the thesis statement of the show and bring up as many musical themes as it can without kind of ruining anything.
Yep.
Spoiler wise, so I did not a major overhaul on the opening number of my musical, but I fixed it to make sure it is in line with that line of thinking.
What kind of tweaks did you make?
So the original version was the ensemble explains to you the French and Indian War, which was the war that made England go into such debt that they started to tax the colonies that led to the revolution. So it was a chunk about that. And then it was a scene with the king and his advisor where they're realizing, oh, that's what we'll do to make back the money. And it was, you know, layering in the musical themes that I work with throughout, especially the war part, because a lot of these characters are dealing with the trauma of having been to war. So a lot of their songs are based on that chunk of the prologue because it's the aftershocks. And the way it had worked was it was almost like two songs kind of smushed into one, and it kind of ended on this more quiet note of the king kind of laying out one of the thesis statements of the show. And then which it sounded good, but then we talked more about what an opening number has to do. And I was like, oh no, this is setting the wrong tone for everything else that's going to follow. So what I did was, plus it has two very short scenes in the middle as opening numbers tend to kind of do. So I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to work. And so what I did was I brought the opening chunk where they're singing about the French and Indian War, I brought it back again where it talks about what happens after the war that leads to the revolution. And I also worked in the chorus instead of being about the fact that war is expensive, hence the taxes. Uh-huh. It talks about what does it feel like to be a soldier who comes home and on day three, you're like, I don't know who the hell I am anymore. Yeah. So it then sets up the theme of surviving trauma. Yeah. So I think I did it, so it becomes kind of like a exposition history catch up, and then it becomes like, hey, a lot of these guys are kind of going to come back, and they're going to all think they're broken, and they live in a time where they're not supposed to talk about it, so it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it gets to do a big finish, and
yeah.
And I added this harmony there. I was like, I've brought something beautiful into the world. I go through periods where I'm like, I'm like, I got this. And then I'm like, I don't got this.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like yeah, I was, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Is that just the creative process though?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I'm a man with grand ambitions in most things. So I tend to either be like, yeah, I'm nailing all the things I wanted to do, or be like, oh no, my hubris, it's imploding.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this outro intro song is great. And then I learned more about what makes an intro song great. And I was like, oh, I half did that. Oh no. And then I fixed it. And then I was like, let me go fix up some of the string arrangements. And this is my exact train of thought. I think you guys will appreciate this. I went, oh, I'm not loving these string arrangements. Oh, what if I don't know what I'm doing with these string arrangements? What if I don't know what if I'm doing at all? Oh God, I don't know what I'm doing at all.
Right.
Close the laptop. That's for the arranger to help me with. Don't freak out now.
Absolutely. You don't need to worry about the string arrangements.
Yeah, yeah. But I've tried to arrange a lot of the stuff myself, but I'm like with the tentative, like, this is my first crack at it. If someone knows how to do this, please fix.
I've been streaming, which is a whole different level of show business.
Yeah.
That I'm figuring out there's some theater to it in a way that I didn't really, that I'm learning the ropes of, which is interesting.
How's it going?
It's kind of like doing crowd work while playing video games is really the moral of that story.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. But it's the kind of thing where it's like either I'm focusing on the game and doing well, or I'm talking to people and then I get killed and I'm like, well, please stay.
I heard you wrapping up a stream the other day and it did sound like ending a show.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much.
All right. I'll be here all week. Bye, guys.
Yeah. It's just these new little kinds of show business humans keep inventing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun.
I have met no world. Yeah. Alex, have you met anything else?
I mean, we met Taboo again.
You sure did. I continue to have an intimate relationship with Taboo.
Having listened to all of it, Jay, some of those songs are not bad. I think you, like Stranger in This World, I think you could get down with. It's a really good song.
I played him both in a row and he was not.
Look, I'm sure there's some, it looks interesting. I just have never, I've never listened to a Boy George song and been like, I need to know more. You know,
that's fair.
I
don't really like his other stuff either.
He wore outfits and that's all I know. And that's all I think I need to know. I don't know. Yep.
Boy George's like music has always struck me as like synth pop meets really bland gospel. So I'm like, no, thank you.
Kind of. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to a new segment on Broadway Baby, talking shit about Boy George.
Yeah.
We got you on blast, boy.
Yeah, we're coming.
George.
Oh, goodness.
Keep on your toes.
Let's just go to Word of the Week.
Word of the Week. Boy George.
Yeah.
Boy George, since we're talking about kinky boots, I thought it was time to talk about Leducas. Have you heard this word before?
I've literally never heard that collection of syllables.
Great. You heard of a Leduca?
No.
Perfect. A Leduca is a dance shoe. More importantly, Leduca, the company, makes almost every Broadway show's shoes.
Hmm.
They make custom shoes for every actor.
The corner of the market.
The corner of the market. And most importantly about today, they make the kinky boots. Which is very important.
Yes.
The trademark.
They have to dance in these huge boots.
It's so true. The trademark of a Leduca is a pretty, it's a high heel and a really flexible sole so that you get a nice line when you're pointing your toe. But the heel itself is tapered in a way that there's a lot of structure at the base. So you don't ever feel like you're dancing in a stiletto.
Gotcha. Because, I mean, I've never worn high heels. I can only imagine trying to dance in them is some kind of Dante torture, like quite precarious.
So the heels, I would say, are pretty, you know, I'm trying to like pull up the Elizabeth.
Is the sex in the heels though?
No, the sex is in the heel.
Okay.
let's see. The Elizabeth is maybe what I think of when I think of a Leduca.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you think the same way?
Yeah.
Alex, I'll sort of put it up to the camera so you can see.
Okay.
How the heel is tapered, so it gets thin in the middle, so you get a nice like silhouette. You don't look like you're wearing a big chunker. But then it flares back out at the bottom, so you get a lot of support, so you're not rolling your ankle. And then there's also the straps, the foot strap is probably what differentiates most of each style. And this one has like two prongs coming out of the front and three. And so you're really like locked in there.
It's interesting because they're trying to make a shoe that looks really nice and also can withstand a lot of structural damage, but also a lot of structural different scenarios. Like it's gotta be covered for a lot of things you have to do.
And that's why they're expensive.
How much does a Leduca cost? Or a pair of Leducas?
Oh, like run-of-the-mill pair of Leducas is probably $220.
Okay.
Which I feel like is a kind of a fair price for...
Considering how much work you get out of
how much work you're getting out of a shoe. I would say as a theater major in college, especially for as like not a dancer, it's the main differentiator. between like movers, as we call them, and dancers. Like in college, I was like, her shoes are so cool. And then when I finally was like, they're LaDucas. And I was like,
they're a rite of
I don't
passage.
Need, they're a rite of passage. They're like, everyone remembers going to the store on like 46th Street, 52nd.
It's in Hell's Kitchen.
It's in Hell's Kitchen. It's a tiny little storefront and you go there and you get fitted for your first pair of LaDucas. And like, you have been initiated.
It's the kind of thing where it's funny. We would always, it was a running joke at Ithaca that there was a fall break, every fall. And that was like a 4-day weekend. And more often than not, a lot of theater kids would go to New York and try and catch shows during that fall break.
Yeah.
And the running joke would always be, who came back with LaDucas? Like, who has rich parents? Like, who came back with LaDucas? Like, and Ithaca's far more of a mover rather than a dancer school. Yeah. So it was only like one or two people usually.
I lusted after LaDucas in college, and I am not a dancer first, but I love shoes.
They're
and
really-
so I like, well, but they just look so good.
They're really
they
really-
do look good.
But if you're wearing LaDucas and then you're a mover, it is a little bit of a...
Like, who do you think you are?
You've got a shoe above your weight class.
Yes. Can we agree that if A Chorus Line had a sequel, the opening would be fittings for all the dancers from the first show getting LaDucas?
Getting their customs?
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing about LaDucas that I always find funny because... Not funny, interesting. Because they make custom shoes for each show and each actor... I didn't realize this until I worked at Surflight for the summer, that you like a costume. Every actor has to have their own brand new shoes in an equity contract.
Yep.
Okay. So every show, new shoes.
College and high school and theater was just like, oh, we have these shoes laying around because they're usually one of the most expensive pieces of your costume.
Shoes are actually a large part of a lot of equity contracts. Yeah. And a lot of only because they are. I mean, they are like the first line of defense for, this sounds crazy, but it's true, for keeping your cast healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. As long as they're all wearing good footwear, you can at least, you're cutting down your injury rate by a pretty substantial margin.
Yeah, because if your shoes suck, the first thing that's going to go is your back.
Uh-huh.
And then if your back goes, everything else goes.
Yeah. If you're a dancer, like you're dancing in shoes that you can't dance in or don't have the structure of a heel like a LaDucas, your ankle's rolling if they don't fit. It's weird. I was just talking to someone at work today about not liking footed tights and what a lot of I would assume that some male dancers do this as well, although I don't think male dancers
cut the feet off their
just
tights?
just the toes so you have your toes sticking out so you can still grip inside your shoe.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Or else you're like, you feel slippery.
Yeah.
I don't know if you two have ever experienced tights in a shoe.
Can't say I've ever had to deal with that like particular issue.
Like a suit sock? Like a, what's a fancy sock
I
for
a
boy?
I understand.
Like a knee high? Do you ever wear knee highs?
I've worn tights in a shoe before. I understand.
And it just feels slippery because the inside of your shoe is leather, so it's pretty slick.
Yeah.
So to cut at least your toes out to just sort of hold on, but that the rest of your foot looks like the tight goes all the way down.
Yes.
Also, interestingly enough, there is, and this is something I actually am just now remembering and realizing I haven't really taken advantage of. There is a fund through Equity that you have to apply for every year, but every Equity member is due a small shoe stipend. I believe the last time I cashed in on it was like, I think like $50 or $60. I can't remember, but to buy new shoes.
It's important.
It's,
and cause okay. Like, I mean,
character shoes specifically.
Yeah.
Whereas LaDucas are mostly like used as character shoes by women, but not necessarily as men as much, but.
That's not men. I mean, they make men's shoes.
I understand that, but like anytime, like all the two pairs of character shoes that I have here are more of a like standard like character shoe, not necessarily LaDucas, but.
And character shoe is just for, you're just doing something else in the play. You're not dancing.
Is the way to say a character shoe?
Hold please. They're trying to find shoes.
What if we never came back? What if there was a murderer in our apartment? and
oh, I thought you were gonna say it was like the equivalent of like dad went out to get cigarettes and never came back. Like,
no, we just got killed in another room, and
oh no. And then I have to solve the case.
They are like a, they're not quite, they're like a,
they're similar, an Oxford, you might call them.
Yeah, similar to like a dress shoe, but something you can like move around in, but still look like a human being.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say one of the Ludukas that I always wanted were boots.
Oh.
Because I think they look cool. But I've also always been intrigued by like a Victorian boot.
Okay.
So okay. I like boots. I also think that if you are wanting ankle support, that's really what'll get you, because it ties up like a figure skater. Like a figure skater? Like an ice skate.
Yeah. A figure skater shoe.
Like a figure skater shoe.
You know the one with blades on the bottom?
A boot. They do call them boots if you're like a figure skater. And then you put the blades on your boots. Because that's how it used to work.
Huh.
You would just put blades on your shoes.
That's insane.
Like when you're little and you learn how to ice skate and you put the two blades on and you just put your feet on them. They like slip over your sneakers.
That's insane to me.
That's not how you learned how to ice skate?
I never took formal ice skating lessons.
Like the first time you go skating when you're really little, they just put like double blades on your feet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cool. Well, that's just my childhood. Anyway, and then my adolescence was lusting after Ladukas. I love shoes. And I vividly remember the first time I saw Young Frankenstein and I was sitting very close. And at one point, the entire female ensemble was in front beveling, which is when you're standing, like your feet are together, but one foot's kind of popped.
Okay.
And I just remember seeing their shoes and I'm like, how are they in such flexible shoes right now? And I was like baffled by their feet. Yeah. And I was like 16, but I did dance a lot more. And then when I finally realized what they were, I was like, I must have. And by the time I was in New York, I was like, I am not a dancer. I will go in my jazz shoes.
So have either of you ever been fitted for a pair of Ladukas?
No.
Okay.
No.
But I have heard stories from people who've been fitted for kinky boots. And that apparently is a very fun day.
Okay.
Because again, you are owed your own pair of shoes. And so if your pair of shoes are kinky thigh-high boots, you get your own.
Yeah.
And that must be a fun day.
Tubular sex.
Yeah. It's a large amount of their budget buying people these big.
It's a large amount of their shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I think though, like it runs you like $2,000 a pair.
No way.
Of the big boot. Whoa.
I saw that somewhere. Maybe Lola's are $2,000 with all the rhinestones.
That tracks. I mean, they're impressive. Yeah.
Honestly, when you were gonna tell me the price of Ladukas, I was imagining like a wig price. So you said $200. I was like, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I feel like when you're in college, they sound really expensive. But once you're an adult, you're like, that's how much nice shoes are. Anyway, I thought today was an apt time to talk about Ladukas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the kinky boots. Now kinky that we know boots. Who makes them.
Yes.
Kinky Boots won the 2013 Tony Award for Best Musical. It ran until April something of 2019. Do we have any personal histories with this show? Alex, anything?
I used to see the ads on the subway all the time, right around when I was kind of softening about musical theater. So it was, by the time I knew I liked musicals, I knew it was a thing. And I think I'd walked by the theater once or twice, but just most of the shows that made it through my brain when I wasn't seeking them out are just, there was an ad blitz on the subway. Like that's how I knew about Hedwig. And the Kinky Boots poster was everywhere, especially if like if they were like stunt casting Charlie or someone.
For sure.
So I had never listened to it until I watched on Broadway HD the London cast to prepare for this. And yeah, that was it. Nothing really.
My favorite thing about all of the marketing for Kinky Boots was that it looked like the most nondescript show of all time. Like it was just like Kinky Boots, it's about boots. Like there literally was like no way to tell like really what it was about. And then it's like, it's about boots, Kinky Boots,
yep.
Boots, like come on and see our boots. Like that's really all the marketing was. It just was like there was nothing. I was like, can there be a little blurb about like what the show's about? It's just about boots, I guess. I don't know.
In fact, a couple weeks ago I was like, Jay, what's Kinky Boots about? I know boots, and that's it. And you kind of gave me a little rundown.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I mean, you're not totally far off, exactly. yeah, I honestly had not seen this show until one of my littles from college joined the cast as a cast member. Joined the cast as a cast member.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's a great sentence.
Yeah, good sentence. And so we kind of had to see it because I was like, he's my little, I gotta go. I didn't really want to. We had a great time. I liked the show. It was good.
Yeah. We saw Brendan Urie of Panic at the Disco. He was played incredible. Charlie.
He was incredible.
He was incredible. The songs are written for that kind of voice.
Yeah, he wailed on it. Maybe the best stunt cast we've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely.
Easy.
So I was like, oh, he's good at the scene work. And he just sang the shit out of it. And that's what you need. It was, yeah. So I saw it. That was the first time I saw it, too. My mom's friend's son, roundabout way. My mom's friend's son was young Charlie on the tour for a while.
Oh.
And so she saw the tour a few times and just loved it. And so one time I was home for something and we watched the original movie with Chiwetel Ejiofor. And I was like, oh, this is actually a very interesting story. I'm glad they made this a musical. And so when we finally saw it, I was pleased. But I remember initially being like, that just seems like a fun, good time show. I'll see it eventually.
That's kind of how I felt too.
It wasn't like on my I must see this radar.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Like I was always like, I'll listen to it at some point for the podcast. And eventually I'm like, oh yeah, we gotta do that. It had already closed, so like I never got to see it. And I'm not crazy upset about that. I like it just fine. But
we also one time when we had to be on like a 4 a.m. flight or something and couldn't sleep, it was playing the London cast. It was like in Florida. We were like, what's on TV right now?
It was on PBS. And so we watched all of Kinky Boots
midnight
again.
Well, we packed up and then couldn't sleep. I like the London cast. I thought they were great. I think it's a fun show. I will say I am mad I didn't see the original cast only because it was Stark Sands of Chasing Liberty fame. My favorite Mandy Moore movie. He plays the guy that takes her out on a date before she leaves for Prague.
Okay.
That's all. These were for you because, they search his flowers. Anyway, I'm very familiar with Stark Sands from the five lines he had in a movie I watched a lot.
Was also an American Idiot.
And then he was an American Idiot. And I was like, who's, and I remember seeing American Idiot and being like, who's this guy? Oh, Stark Sands. That sounds real. And I'm like, I've seen that on the credits of Chasing Liberty. And then
I like to think in your mind, there's like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it all goes back to Chasing Liberty somehow.
Absolutely. I would play that game with anyone.
Because and Jeremy win.
Piven is in that movie. The guy from NCIS plays the president. Mandy Moore and a lot of stuff. Yes, I would play that game.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm like, absolutely, great film.
Yeah, you've made me watch that many times, and I'm just
gonna
like,
watch it tonight.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Alex. Thanks a lot.
It's a great movie. Also, obviously, the Gilmore Girls reference. Alex, if you don't know,
The
reboot of Gilmore Girls, they're putting on a show. And Sutton Foster gets cast as the lead and everyone was like, who is she? And one of the characters just keeps saying she was Kinky Boots in this.
She book. Was Kinky Boots.
Correct. And Lorelai, the main character, has to keep saying she was in Kinky Boots. Kinky Boots is not a part. She was in the musical.
Yeah,
and that made us laugh a lot.
Who would she have played? The Annaleigh Ashford role?
That's the most hilarious part is that
it's never defined.
Sutton Foster was clearly in whatever realm she was in, was not a lead. And I think they even mentioned she was in the tour.
Yeah.
Anyway. She's probably been Nicola and a factory worker.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Anyway, Kinky Boots.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
This is the most passable show I think we've done. Mm-hmm. I was listening through and I was like, man, these are some fun bops. these are good. This is fine. This is, it's not bad. I'm not disliking it. But, and it, what I said when we walked out after we had seen it, like, we had a great time, but I was like, the fact that this won Best Musical in 2013 is more of a scathing indictment of what was going on in Broadway in 2013.
Yeah. This show is, it's fun, but like, it's one of those shows where you look it up and you're like, it won all this stuff. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Like, I can't not see it, but I.
But it's aggressively fine.
Yeah. It's aggressively fine. It's got some great songs. Like, I've gotten a lot of joy out of the cast album this week.
Sure.
But like, once I kind of, that falls out of my rotation, probably not going to come back like for a while. I think the book is pretty good because it's Harvey Fierstein. Like, the dialogue is all very strong and very funny. There's certain points where it kind of comes unglued, and I think that's probably more the movie's fault, and he just had to adapt it.
Yeah.
But like, you can tell there was a skill in right. Like, it's, I'm pretty much 100% with Jay on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the two of us, because we both talked about like, this was the best musical. Like, what was the next best musicals?
Yeah.
This is like a touchstone of like, I feel like musicals come in waves almost. And so you have 2013 Kinky Boots. 2014 is Gentleman's Guide. So you're going like, oh, musicals are just fun musicals. They're fine. And then Fun Home wins. And then Hamilton wins. And then Dear Evan Hansen wins. And then Hadestown wins.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember looking up and I was like, okay, so like, if Fun Home and Hamilton like are changing, like it's almost like informs what people were looking for next. Because you have a lot of like fun time musicals and everyone's like, cool, but where's the like heart? Where's the Pulitzer? Where's the fun time?
I'm just looking at this and A, the competition is not very steep.
Want to read those nominees?
Kinky Boots was nominated for Best Musical in 2013 against Bring It On, the musical. A Christmas Story, the musical. And then what, honestly, I didn't realize was nominated the same year, and I'm kind of pissed it didn't win. Yeah. Matilda was nominated that year, too.
Matilda's really good.
Matilda's great.
Matilda's incredible.
This is the year we started dating.
This was the year we started dating.
Because I saw Matilda after our second date with my
mom. Yes, you did. Oh my gosh, what a time capsule.
Yeah, like that was Broadway when we were like young and fresh.
Yeah. I do. One of the things I do, this falls into one of my other very specific subgenre joys of musicals, which is someone who's never written a musical before trying it out.
Yeah.
Like Sarah Bareilles doing Waitress, or like Anais Mitchell doing Hadestown. And like, they come in, like Kinky Boots is probably toward the lower end of my favorites of those things, but I'm always interested to see when someone does that, if it ends up being good.
Yeah.
I think Waitress, I think, is the best example of that. Or maybe Hadestown and Waitress kind of go back and forth for me as to which I think is better.
I think Cyndi Lauper, like, I think
Cyndi Lauper like nailed it.
I don't think there's a weak song in this show. I just don't think anything really like stands out in a major way.
Yeah, fully agree. Yeah.
I will say, as a woman in musical theater, History of Wrong Guys was a wonderful song to add to the catalog.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of funny female musical theater songs.
Yeah.
Of like a quirky, fun character to play. Annalee Ashford was the perfect person to do it. She can like, she just nails the bits.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that song is great. I'm sure now it's like the most done song in auditions.
We saw Taylor Lautermann do it. We saw it.
Did we?
Yeah.
I forgot we saw her do it.
Yeah.
She's also quite funny.
She was really good in it. I mean, she was doing her best Annalee Ashford impression, but.
Well, that's also the funny thing about this show is more than any other show, I could see the original cast's imprint.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a Jerry Mitchell show, so it is really choreographed. Like, the History of Wrong Guys is just a song, but there is movement at every turn.
Yeah.
And I have seen a few bootlegs of people doing this song, and it is always the same, which works because those are the jokes, but it must be so interesting to be put into that show because, like, you do this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's how you sell a show on tour.
Absolutely. It toured really well. It
toured really well.
For a show with a bunch of drag queens in middle America, toured so well.
I still don't know. When you were telling me that, like, oh, like, my mom's friend's kid is on tour with this show, I'm like, they're literally in 5 minutes of this show. Mm-hmm. Why are they touring two kids around?
Four, probably.
Why? Why not rewrite the show and get the kids out of there?
Or what they do on Waitress is they cast local.
That's cute.
Because it's just one little girl who runs on at the end.
Yeah.
So a lot of times for small kid roles like that, you'll cast local. But those kids have scenes, I think.
Yeah, they're in like the very beginning.
But again, as we've also talked about, the moneymaker of winning a Best Musical Tony Award is that they had the budget to have kids on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won Best Musical and every regional theater went, we'll take 5 weeks, we'll take 10, we'll take three, bring it here with children.
Has this done, I just was trying to think if I've seen any regional productions, like any regional
theaters. It was at the Muni recently, Taylor Lauterman.
Oh, she went back and did it again. That's right.
Which actually I saw watched some of that bootleg. And the main funny thing of anything that happens at the Muni, which is the St. Louis Regional Theater, it's a big open air. How many seats are there?
10,000.
Giant place to do a show. Giant stage. So like the conveyor belt that's bringing out the shoes. If you watch the bootleg of the Muni, it's like a football field conveyor belt.
Yeah. I'm going to need to see this.
It's so funny.
Just for the size absurdity alone.
Yes. Yeah. And because it just, you know, how that's built, it comes out from the wing and she needs to sing center stage.
Yeah.
And so it's like where it's like two things of a conveyor belt. It's like six at the Muni.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I thought was great to watch.
How do they choreograph everybody say, yeah, where they're all dancing on it? Are they spread out or are they just toward the middle? Like, I wonder how that looks.
I don't know. They do a lot of stuff.
The stage is, I was a Muni teen, so I was in a couple of shows at the Muni growing up. And they do a lot, like, that stage is really deep and they only use about like two of the, the fly system's goes like 10 deep and they use like the first two. Like, cause they don't need it. Like, it's the kind of thing. Like, they could stage like Coliseum
musical.
Yeah, they could stage Coliseum battles in that thing. Like, it's like structured in a way where they can like basically like watertight it and like flood it with water, so they can have naval battles in the damn thing. Huge. That's a really obscure reference, but
I was here for it.
Open this summer since it's outside.
It's in Missouri, so probably.
I've never been to the Muni, and I would like to go.
Okay. We can make that happen.
I had a feeling.
We have to pick the right show, though. Fun thing is that we can go at midnight and go to Tech. What? You can go watch Tech. They open up the theater at midnight because they do Tech because it's regional. So they're like doing Tech at like midnight. So you can go and watch Tech. It's fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. Get a pizza, get a drink.
Yeah, people bring like, you know, picnics. Like coolers and pizzas and just hang out.
That sounds.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like a very theater kid.
It's
night.
Really good. Yeah, it's really theater fun. Night.
Sounds like something I would enjoy doing.
I wasn't fully on board to you're like, you could bring pizzas. So I'm like, okay, cool. Something for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell my mom. She would love to do that again. She loves doing that.
That'd be so fun. Speaking of the fly system, which Alex, have we talked about fly systems?
No.
And what that might mean.
Is it literally to make someone fly a la Peter Pan or is this a metaphor of some kind?
Pretty much.
Okay.
What you'll see, the fly system is basically if you ever see a set piece go up instead of off.
Okay.
Like a phantom. It was flown out. And then it is considered up in the flies if it lives up there. So you'll see a lot of Broadway theaters, if you actually look at the construction, will be kind of flat, tall.
Mm-hmm.
And that tall is the fly system. And so it's when you know about like, old theaters especially, it's interesting to see how many have not a lot of offstage space but a lot of fly space.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, everything's getting flown in. It's because there's nothing on the wings.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no
everything comes from the top. And I feel like Kinky Boots was kind of one of those shows, because the main thing I remember is, which is why, Alex, I asked you if we had already talked about scenes in one, is the front of the factory drop comes down a lot, and then a lot happens right there in one.
Yeah.
Which feels very like high school regional. It's really, watching this show on Broadway, I was just like, it is so licensable.
Yeah.
It is the most, like, this show will do well regionally if you get the right people, because it's four sets. It's a factory. Yeah. It's kind of a bar. It's kind of another bar. It's one flat in the front.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this show, like, it's a moneymaker.
There's a lot of parking and barking in this show.
Yeah. Like, you can just, like, cast Lola and Charlie and Nicola. What's not Nicola's name? What's Annalee Ashford's name in this show?
Lauren.
Lauren.
Yeah. It's the most nondescript. I even looked at it. I was like, Lauren? Her name is Lauren.
Okay. I honestly didn't know until you said it. I was like, pass.
You know, that, yeah, it's just like, yeah, that iconic role, Lauren or Jonathan or, you know.
Well, Charlie.
William or, you know, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah, like you just cast the four of them and the angels.
Yeah.
And you're golden.
You're good.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It will do well regionally and on tour forever. Yeah.
I think, what did I say earlier? It's the French vanilla of musicals, this show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm not, you know, if you put some French vanilla ice cream in front of me, I'm like, oh, this is good. Yum, it's ice cream. But, you know, it's not.
Rocky Road.
It's not blowing my skirt up. You know,
it's a good time.
We had a great time at the theater. I wasn't like.
It's a good time, and you get enough of an emotional investment. Yeah. That it feels like worth your artistic time as well.
Yeah, I quite like the fact that the driving dramatic force is these two guys realizing they both have father issues and they can bond over it. To the point where I almost, even though I really like that Annalee Ashford part, just because she's so fun to watch, I'm almost like, do we need a love story on top of it?
No.
No.
It feels tucked on.
This show really doesn't pass the Bechdel test really at all.
No. No, sir. Considering her song is called History of Wrong Guys.
Yep.
And the fiance, Nicola, just shows up twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a bigger deal in the movie, but I don't remember.
Probably. But.
Yeah. It's cool. The one thing about the character of Lola that I find interesting is that every actor gets to choose his identity and his sexuality.
Okay.
It's not written into the script. It can be done either way. Wayne Brady played him straight.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like
a straight man in drag.
Which I actually.
Some people have played him closer to trans. Some people have played him just a drag queen, gay man.
I think it's similar to Hedwig. It's like, it's kind of.
It's on you. Like, there's a lot of room for interpretation in that character, which I really appreciate from Harvey Fierstein, because it could have been really nail on the head. This is this person. But it opened it up to a lot of different interpretations.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that the book is written by a queer person, I think makes this infinitely better than it could have been in a straight boy's hands.
That could have been
dangerous.
And I can't believe, and this is a sentence that I never thought I'd say, but I was kind of bummed that I didn't get to see Wayne Brady do it. Like when I saw those posters, I was like, I was like, I'd go back to Kinky Boots to see Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. He's probably great.
Yeah. Wayne Brady loves musicals, guys.
We love Wayne Brady.
I would pay a king's ransom to see a bootleg of his Burr.
Oh, yeah.
Can't find it.
He just like duetted someone on TikTok as Burr, and it was pretty cute.
Okay.
My daily plug for on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, also, Wayne Brady as Burr is actually really good casting, because it's like, he's kind of got that, like, he's got that Burr, like, you're really confident, but it makes me hate you a little bit.
He has the talk show host
I like you, but I also kind of want to punch you.
Yeah. He has another thing that we've talked about is integral for Burr is he's cool enough that he can get away with a lot of the shit that you don't like about him, which is what he was like in real life.
Yeah.
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 Because if Burr is too much of a... Yes.
Wayne Brady seems very nice.
He does.
But yeah, Burr. That's very true. That he does have like that celebrity, like he can lean into that kind of...
You're always happy he's there, but at the same time you're like,
oh, Wayne Brady.
Why is Wayne Brady here?
Yeah. I think that's what made that Chappelle Show sketchy was in work so well.
Yeah. What is... Oh, when he's so good. Wayne Brady was on Chappelle and he played like... It was that they were like... Chappelle like spent a lot of time like making fun of Wayne Brady. Like, and then Wayne Brady shows up and it's like... he's got like the Wayne Brady like the it's a Whose Line Is It Anyway persona, but then like behind the scenes like he's a straight gangster, like he's like
that sketch is a poem. Yeah, it's so really funny.
I'll have to show you after. It's actually really funny, man.
I like that.
Yeah,
he's great. I'm like, I don't know, I feel like everyone at some point was just like, ugh, Wayne Brady.
Exactly, that's part of the... But you know what's...
I'm like coming around on Wayne Brady now because I'm just like, no, he's fine.
Yeah.
A lover of the arts.
Yeah.
Let him do it.
Star of Ratatouille, the musical, not the Pixar film.
The only one who decided to wear a costume, may I add.
Which I very much appreciated.
Yes. He really got into rat character.
He did.
In Ratatouille. I liked it a lot. Those are my favorite part of Ratatouille, is how each one of them interpreted wear gray and be a rat.
Because like Titus was like,
put on whiskers, put on ears, frayed his gloves, blah blah blah, and Adam Lambert was like, full glam, happened to be a gray sweater.
Yeah. Yes, and Titus was like, as you can see, I'm a rat. I'm like, no, I can see you're in a sweatshirt, but okay, I'll go with it. I will give in to the given circumstances.
Great interpretation by everyone.
Yeah.
I liked it very much. Do we have much else to say about Kinky Boots? Shall we go to Little Loves?
I think we should do Little Loves.
Yeah.
Alex, what are your little...
Loves? Oh, sure. I got some loves. I have two little gripes first.
Oh, right. Great.
I don't think there are any straight up bad songs in this, but I think Everybody Say Yeah isn't a great act closer because it's just kind of fluff and also doesn't tell us any new information. Mm-hmm. And I think Raise You Up is fun, but I think that's when the show kind of comes unglued, just like, Milan went well, and now we're all dancing, and it doesn't quite spell out what it means. So I think this show is... Like we said, it's fun, but I think it doesn't end either of its acts particularly well.
Yeah. It's a show full of good songs, not necessarily great songs.
And the end is just like, and let's just all put on the boots and dance, shall we?
Which is great. That's what I paid for. Sure. Come on.
Yeah.
So my first love, Land of Lola, is my favorite song in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. It was the song that I listened to that made me go, oh, Cyndi Lauper has more of a songwriting range than I thought she did.
Yeah.
Because I've never paid too much attention to her stuff. And then I listened to, just went through the album and I was like, oh, she did like a disco drag queens. Okay. Which in hindsight, of course, makes sense because she's a pop, you know, writer. But I was like, okay.
There's a little bit of bluegrass in a couple of the songs. There's like some different takes in there.
Also a staggering amount of somehow quite tasteful foot puns. She pulls them up. And this goes back to, my next little love goes back in the point I'm going to make next. I love that. The most beautiful thing in the world is a very sweet melody. That song does so much more. It does a lot of heavy lifting because it shows you the story of this guy who doesn't want to work in shoes, but also it sets you up. This whole show is shoe puns. If you're not into it, there's the door, because most of the beats around this are going to be foot puns.
Yeah, you came to a show called Kinky Boots.
Yeah, like they really, really milk that thing. And I say that as a compliment. Like, they're like, even when it does it cheesy, like this is step one, works.
Yeah,
it's just the right amount of cheese that it's endearing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was also one of my little loves. I'll just piggyback.
Okay, and
the then most my beautiful last... thing in the world. Just that melody gets stuck in my head a lot.
Yeah, it's very nice. And then my last one is the "What a Man" part of "What a Woman Wants." What a man, what a man, what a man.
So good.
What a woman. And that's when the show starts to kind of come unglued a little bit. Like, why is there a boxing match?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah,
it's interesting, but it's like, this is nothing to do. This is this is us filling two acts.
I am I think I need to watch. The movie doesn't have a great Rotten Tomato score, so I wasn't going to watch it. But just out of curiosity of what was this
movie?
What was this adapted from? Because also I like the cast of the movie. Yeah. Chiwetel Ejiofor is great, but I'm like, you know, how much of because sometimes you could adapt a thing and it's note for note, it just works, and sometimes you got to chop and screw that thing to make it into a musical. So I wonder how much Harvey Fierstein had to do.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie in a while, but I do remember watching it and thinking, like, there are obvious moments to musicalize because there are a lot of, like, the smaller emotional songs, like Not Your Father's Son, like, all of the soliloquy kind of songs, you can see where they would be in the movie. Sweet. So that's one of my little loves. But also, just Annaleigh Ashford in History of Wrong Guys, all of her prop work. It's very exciting. The bite of the apple, the spray of the hose to make her hair go.
Yeah.
Is delightful. Oh, yeah. And just Brendan Urie singing Soul of a Man. Stark Sands is great too, but Brendan Urie singing Soul of a Man.
Yo.
If a bootleg exists, that's one that I'm like, please, everyone, go find that.
That guy
can sing.
Sang the show. Holy biscuits.
Yeah. Also, my main little love is that this really catapulted the like second half and higher echelon of Billy Porter's career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love a comeback.
Uh huh.
Love that Billy Porter is loved by all now.
Yeah.
Little loves?
A lot of you guys took a lot of my little loves. I will say my biggest of my little loves is when the factory worker comes out in the boots.
Yeah.
It's 100%. It's like, this is exactly what I paid for. Yes, please. I need the big burly like factory worker in those glam boots.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a kinky boots, eh?
Yes. Kill it. Like that's the dichotomy that I've been that's the moment to me when I'm like, cool, like we've all healed. moment where it's like, cool, we're all in this together. Like, it's the
just be who you want.
Yeah, it's corny and you know it's coming, but it just feels so good.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think as theater people, we get kind of jaded to that kind of trick at the end of a show.
Yeah.
But like, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fun for other people who aren't as jaded. I also say my one little love is just thinking of the time that Kevin Jaeger saw this show 4 margaritas deep and a broad-waisted fan recognized him by his laughter. Many rows back, met him at intermission and said, I heard your laugh.
Amazing.
I didn't hear that story. That's
oh
funny.
Yeah, Solo had like 4 or 5 margaritas at Sombrero across the street.
Oh man. And those are the most overpriced margaritas of all time.
And then I think he got one at the show.
Sombrero. Oh, what a weird
call. The word of the week was almost going to be sombrero, so we could talk about like places to have a good drink before a music. Like Kodama and Sombrero.
Yeah, Sombrero is totally on the list of like, we need to just like slam some liquor in us before we see this, whatever we're about to see.
Yeah. And I get chips. Thank you.
Yeah.
When stuff comes back, like we're doing field trips.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
we did Glass House, but you know
that we have not been in the theater district in quite some time.
No, we haven't.
I had to work today.
Was like, oh wait, Kinky Boots closed in 2019. So what marquee is out front of the Al Hirschfeld right now?
Moulin Rouge.
It's Moulin Rouge.
Oh, it is Moulin Rouge.
I had to walk through it. Yes, my office was closing and I had to help them with the moving stuff. So I just took, I'm like, let's see what's going on. And it's a weird ghost town. And like the marquee for Girl from the North Country is still up. And that has a weird resonance for me.
I think the Sing Street marquee is still up and they didn't, I think, even start previews.
Yeah, I think Company might still be marquee.
They're all still up, I think.
I think Company
I think is still planning to come back. I think Girl from the North Country hasn't announced it's not coming back. The only ones that I know for sure, Sing Street I don't think is coming back, but we'll probably try eventually. Frozen loaded out. and a few plays. And Mean Girls. I don't know if they've loaded out yet, but they're not coming back. Just really ending this on a downer. Yeah. Huh?
Wow. Raise you up.
But it is almost my 1 year anniversary of seeing the open dress rehearsal of Company. And if there is like a hope for musical theater, it is that show.
I want to see it so bad. It's, you have no idea.
Wonderful. And I was skeptical going in, and it's all, it's the first show I want to see when it's back. It's so well done. And like would have been such a game change, will be such a game changer. And such a cool new way to think about old shows. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the epitome of like, why are you reviving this? Also, we could do something really interesting with it.
Yeah. And so we can open these parts up to other kinds of people. And yeah, it's very cool. Anyway, we've done Little Loves. We've gone on a tangent. Is there a review?
What would Harold do? I think... If the phone rings, Lola's got some words.
Yeah, Lola probably just like takes the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Harold's sticking around through the second act of this show.
No. Also, like the score is loud. Maybe no one hears it.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a review. This is from Broadway_posts. 5 stars. Please leave Broadway Baby 5 stars on iTunes. It really helps our numbers and a nice review. It's very helpful. Says, listen, ! You won't regret it. This podcast is amazing. All caps. I listened to Avenue P, which was a parody of Avenue Q I wrote as a mini, and it was hilarious and well done. Then I started listening to Joseph, and it was so good. Broadway is my life, so I am so happy I found this podcast. Thank you, Broadway Baby Podcast. Also, quick note about Joseph. Have you ever accidentally hit a button on your phone with a podcast, and it plays at like the 1/3 speed?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did that with our Joseph episode, and then I listened to the whole thing because it was so funny to me that it sounded like we had split a bag of mushrooms 3 ways and talked about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yeah.
If there's a show to talk about after a bag of mushrooms.
It was so, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's great. All right. Yep.
Oh, great. Well, that brings us to Sing Out, Louise.
Trust your ears to Schmidt and Son. Our pod is tried and true, gaining listeners every day and now on TikTok too. Broadway terminology and outros full of puns. The raddest cast for you to blast is Schmidt and Son. You might think music comes from rock and rollers, or if you like rhymes, hip-hop's where you go. But if you want something that will not shake your molars, you'll find a funny little comfort in a... Alex, what did Kimberly and I teach you is the most musical thing in the world? A show! The most musical thing in the world. The most musical thing in the world, Alex, that I know. The most musical thing in the world. The most musical thing in the world, Alex. It's musicals. It's musicals. To new beginnings. Hello to matinees. You're Broadway's baby now, no matter what you used to say. And it is far too big an ask to go back and change your past. But on this podcast, you're the star of every show. The most musical thing in the world. The most musical thing in the world, Alex said. We know the most musical thing in the world. The most musical thing in the world, Alex. It's musicals. It's musicals. It's musicals.
Lion King.
Lion King.